I'd like to consider for a moment together where it is that we look for to see power. Where we look for power. Or what are the things that we look at and go, wow, that's powerful. Or even better, where do we teach our children to look for power or strength? Where do we teach them? Where do we point our children to see true power, true strength? Well, I want to start here, an idea that all of us were raised with, and that is to do the right thing is to be filled with strength. Or if you want to tap into your full potential or your power, then you'll succeed. Doing the right things. To be successful is to be powerful, right? That's where you find strength. Do the right thing. That's where you find power. I mean, this is why when you were 2 years old, or maybe younger, you got an M&M when you went potty, and the big boy potty for the first time. Successful mission, right? You get rewarded. This is why when you went off to kindergarten and you couldn't get your B's and your B's and your D's right, the teacher sent you back home with more homework to do, because you got to get it right to tap into your full potential, to tap into your strength, to tap into your power. You got to get things right. That is to be successful, to be powerful. It's ingrained in us. And it's a good thing that it is. Do you imagine what our world would be like if we taught otherwise? Hey, kid, you're a pretty good dancer, so here's what I want you to do. Stop practicing. Sleep in, and before your next performance, spin around as fast as you can for 2 minutes so you're good and dizzy, because you don't want to impress the judges. Or what if we said to our young intellectual minds, you know, our children who are soaking up wisdom, hey, kid, stop reading books. Go home and binge watch Netflix as much as possible. Play video games. A lot of video games, and kill as many brain cells as possible, because we don't want you rising up above the rest and getting a mind of wisdom. You see, civilization would fall apart pretty quickly if we taught that to find strength was actually to fail. You've got to succeed. Our entire life is built around this notion. True power is found in success. And I'm thankful for good teachers, for good coaches, for good parents who instilled it in me one M&M at a time. But to do the right thing is to be successful, to be powerful. Look, if you pass a college paper, or you take a hard course, or if you learn how to write your English alphabet for the first time, you'll see the power of learning. If you train your body and you take seriously the art of discipline and you dedicate your energy to excelling at a sport or art or music, you'll see the power of determination. If you find a faithful woman and you work hard to fight for her, to protect her, to cherish her, to love her, and to nourish her, you'll see the power of love. If you go on and you lead a Fortune 500 company, or say you build a skyscraper, or you plant those row of beans for the 30th year in a row, you'll see the power of hard work. If you work hard and you have the opportunity to see something that you invested your whole life into actually succeed and become a beautiful thing, you'll see the power of man. But if you want to see the power of God, you'll find it when all those things fail. You want to find the power of God, you'll find it when life falls apart, when it crumbles, when life hits rock bottom. God's power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul had a lot of weaknesses. He writes about it in 2 Corinthians here. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. Or I like the word splinter better. Splinter in the flesh. He even gives it a nickname. It's a messenger of Satan, the splinter. And like any good splinter, it is constantly reminding Paul that he's got a problem, that you're hurting, that you're not right, you're not whole, you're not perfect. You're failing at something. You're weak. Now, a lot of ink has been spilled about what Paul's splinter in the flesh was. And the Apostle Paul struggled with something. What is this thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul has? Some say it was his anxiety. He writes himself in 2 Corinthians 11 that there's daily pressure on me and all my anxiety for all the churches. Who's weak? Paul says, I'm weak. Some say that it was his fear of public speaking or his being afraid of crowds or his bodily presence among people. He writes himself in 2 Corinthians 10:10, my letters are strong, but my bodily presence is weak. And my speech is of no account. Some think Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been his eyesight, because he was blinded by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he regained his sight, but perhaps he had issues throughout the rest of his life. Some think Paul's thorn in the flesh was his lust for women. He writes, it's better to marry than to burn with passion and lust. Some think Paul's thorn in the flesh, it might have just been all the fears and worries that he had from all these seemingly failures throughout the churches he was setting up. I mean, Paul's plate was filled with failures, you know. He'd go around and he'd set up these churches and they were constantly bickering. And the leadership that was put in place was constantly falling apart. And people that he invested all of his time and energy into were leaving the church over petty reasons or even worse, deserting the faith. Following Jewish myths and putting their confidence in works of the flesh rather than the free gospel that we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You know, all those things had to tear Paul up. He had more than enough on his plate to pray about to the Lord, for the Lord to remove the splinter. Whatever it was, we do the same. We all have our thorns. Every one of us has our splinters. And we just know that we would be stronger Christians if we didn't have it. We'd be better if we didn't have this thorn, this messenger of Satan, constantly wrecking my confidence, wrecking my life, wrecking my ability to care for other people. If we start to barter with God, if you just remove this splinter, then I would be better off, we think. Perhaps maybe for you it's money. If we just had a little more money, things would go a little more smooth. I mean, who hasn't thought about praying or prayed to God about winning the lottery and, you know, you'd only take 3% or something and you donate the other 90% to charity and then give the last 7% to your pastor? We make these deals, right? And this is what we do with thorns. This is what we always do with thorns. First, we pray to God that he would remove them. Secondly, we don't talk about them. We're silent when it comes to our weaknesses. We don't want anyone else to know the thorns that we carry. And third, because we have to talk to people about something, we end up talking about our successes. We boast about the things that we're doing right. Going to the potty for the first time when you're two. You boast in the things that you've done right. Paul does this. He prays to God three times, remove this thorn. Remove it. Take the splinter out. And the Lord answers, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, it's made perfect in weakness. You want to see the power of God? Look for weakness. Let's teach our children that. Everyone else expects you to be perfect. You're a Christian. I don't. It's okay to fail, child. They're not going to get that from the world. It's okay. You want to see the power of God, child? Look for the ones who are weak. You know, the kids at school that are eating alone are the ones who seem sad. You want to see the power of God, child? Look for the ones who are heartbroken. Look for the little boy who's poor, who doesn't have a good home life. And you'll find the power of God there. You want to see the power of God, child? Look to Jesus, our Redeemer, being stretched out on that cross. Nailed to a cross of scorn, completely powerless. He can't even open his eyes, can barely speak, can't even come down from it. He's weak. He's lowly, crushed, afflicted. You want to see the power of God? Look to the cross. And you will see the power of God manifested fully in weakness and the crucified and risen Lord. It was that event, you know, that moment of time when God chose to work in our powerful and successful world through weakness that flipped Paul's world upside down. He stopped boasting about all of his successes, and he had a lot to boast about. The apostle who saw Paul here, he saw paradise himself. He says, I'm not going to talk about it. And he starts to boast in his actual weaknesses. He says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about the things that show my weakness. Hey, Christian, I have a thorn in my flesh too. And I've tried like crazy to get it out. I've prayed. I'm weak. Hey, Christian, I want you to know I have a hard time doing the right thing. And the thing that I know I shouldn't be doing, I find myself continually doing that. Like this war rages within me night and day, and I don't have the power to overcome it. Hey, I want you to know I struggle with anxiety too. My mind's not perfect. It's debilitating. It hurts. Hey, I want you to know I fall short. To anyone that would listen to us as Christians, let us boast about our weaknesses and stay silent when it comes to our successes. Let another praise you. To boast in our weaknesses, to stay silent in our successes, that is the power of God within us. When you experience that first utter failure for the first time, or when the love of your life breaks your heart, or you lose her, or the yield isn't enough, or the project is crumbling apart, or when you realize just how weak and powerless you really are, that is the moment when one sees the power of God made perfect in weakness. And it's in that weakness where God's grace, his grace, is sufficient. Everything else is secondary. I don't need it. All I need is you. And your grace, given to me full and free and my Lord, is sufficient enough. More than I need a project to succeed, more than I need this thorn to go away, more than I need even the love and appreciation of man. Yes, more than anything else is the need of grace that we have given to us in Jesus, full and free. And that grace is all sufficient. By faith, it is yours. It's all sufficient for you, especially in your weaknesses. Amen.